This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Portions of South Dakota were snow-free when bitter cold settled into the region this morning. World Weather Incorporated says there is potential for winter kill to have occurred, but damage won't be known until this spring. Temperatures were in the low negative 20s to low negative 30s Thursday morning in south-central North Dakota and north-central South Dakota. Light snow is in the forecast most days through next Wednesday.
The active weather pattern will continue for much of the Midwest through next Wednesday. World Weather says regular rounds of snow and mixed freezing rain will occur from east central Iowa to Michigan, while moderate to heavy rain is expected over the Ohio River basin.
Regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will occur over the next 2 weeks for much of western and southern Brazil, while eastern Brazil is expected to remain mostly dry. World Weather Incorporated says western rains will be beneficial for the driest areas, while dry weather in eastern areas will allow for better harvest. Argentina will see cooler temperatures and a good mix of rain and sunshine that should stabilize the crop. World Weather says the exception, southern La Pampa to central and southern Buenos Aires, where soil moisture is already short and crop stress will increase.
The Senate voted today 72-28 to confirm Brooke Rollins as the new U.S. Ag Secretary. Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Bozeman spoke in favor of the confirmation.
America's farmers, ranchers, foresters need a leader at USDA who will be an advocate for their livelihoods in rural America and be a strong voice to address the pressing needs of our agricultural community. Brooke Rollins is that person. In her hearing before the Senate Agriculture Committee, she pledged to do everything within her ability to ensure that our farmers, ranchers, and rural communities thrive.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune said Rollins plans to get right to work on four key priorities.
First, getting disaster and economic aid out the door and into the hands of farmers. Second, getting the bird flu and other animal disease outbreaks under control. Third, getting the Farm Bill done. And finally, revitalizing the U.S. Department of Agriculture to focus on its core mission and put America and American agriculture first.
Senate also confirmed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Before the vote, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer spoke in opposition of Kennedy.
So one final time, I implore my Republican colleagues to reject the nomination of Kennedy to be Secretary of HHS. A vote to confirm Mr. Kennedy is a vote I truly believe many, many Republicans and most Americans will eventually very deeply regret.
The vote 52-48 in favor. Senator Mitch McConnell was the only Republican to vote against confirming Kennedy.
The future of the Farm Bill remains unclear as House and Senate Republicans struggle to find common ground on budget negotiations. Pro-farmer analyst Jim Wiesmeyer said the House is pushing for deep spending cuts, especially in food assistance programs, while the Senate is taking a more moderate approach.
The initial push will be to get the one beautiful bill because I think the House leadership is right. It's going to be so hard to get the votes initially, you may as well put it in. But by no means do we know that for sure, and anyone who says they do, put your hand on your wallet because they don't know.
Wiesmeyer said because of the complex budget fight, it's tough to say if the Farm Bill will get done this year.
Will the Republicans get a budget reconciliation measure through? Will that include any Farm Bill programs? And if not, then I want to know what the reconciliation bill includes in the food stamp area, because that will determine what the Congress does on a standalone Farm Bill. If they take the Senate version of reconciliation on food stamps, probably you'll have some Democrats vote for a standalone Farm Bill, but you won't have any Democrats vote for the House approach on food stamps.
Minnesota Senator Tina Smith has announced she will not seek re-election in 2026. Smith says the decision is entirely personal, adding she wants to spend more time with her family after being a public servant for 20 years. Smith plans to use the remaining 2 years of her term working to represent Minnesotans in the Senate without having to worry about running for re-election.
At a joint North Dakota House and Senate Ag Committee meeting this morning, NDSU Vice President of Agriculture Greg Lardy presented the results of a study conducted on the economic contributions of agriculture to the state's economy.
North Dakota agriculture contributing over $41 billion to the state's economy. That includes $26 billion in direct economic impact, direct output, and over $15 billion in secondary outputs. Agriculture accounts for over 25% of the total output of the state's economy, so fully one quarter of the state's economic engine is driven by agriculture. Nearly 21% of all employment and nearly 23% of all labor income is as a result of agriculture. And so it's a very significant contributor to the state's economy.
The study also found the ag industry provides the state with over 100,000 jobs.
Talk a little bit about the number of jobs that are created in North Dakota due to the agriculture industry. And so there are over 46,000 direct jobs and 76,000 indirect jobs, so a total of 123,000 jobs that rely on agriculture or that are part of agriculture across the state of North Dakota. Labor income from agriculture is $10 billion in wages and salary across the state of North Dakota. So another significant impact in terms of what that means to our citizens across the state.
NDSU, recognized as one of the country's top research institutes by the Carnegie Classification of Institutions of Higher Education, the Research One distinction is Carnegie's highest classification presented to the nation's top research institutions. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. NDSU Saddle and Sirloin Club is hosting its 99th Little International tomorrow and Friday in Fargo. The event will also pay tribute to former NDSU Extension Veterinarian and Livestock Stewardship Specialist Jerry Stucka, who has been selected as this year's Agriculturalist of the Year.
My main goal and purpose is to talk about the importance of livestock, and for me, primarily cattle, how important that is to not only the economy, but to the people that take care of them. Take care of the land, take care of the cattle and or the livestock, and take care of themselves and each other. It's an interesting lifestyle, and so for me to get the chance to talk about being good stewards was a chance I couldn't pass up, and that's probably been the most enjoyable, and amongst other things. So we've done a lot of different things at NDSU and K-State and elsewhere, and it's been an interesting ride, and I don't think it's over yet.
Much of Stucka's focus while at NDSU Extension was advocating for the humane treatment of cattle and livestock.
My main goal in talking about stewardship was to get the human factor back into raising cattle. And by that I mean these cattle are and livestock are living sentient beings, and they respond, they know who their caretakers are, and they respond to human beings if you let them. There are some that are not suited for cattle. They don't have the right personality, they don't have the right scent around livestock. But when it comes to animal handling and caring for animals and feeding animals and doing the right things to make sure they're healthy, it takes special people. And I hope we'll never run out of those people, because these animals are not like a crop.
Sales of agricultural tractors and combines fell in the U.S. sharply in January 2025, according to new data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Tractor sales dropped 15.8%. Combine sales saw a steep decline of almost 79%. AEM Senior Vice President Kurt Blades says the slowdown is due to ongoing uncertainties in the ag industry, including global trade issues, tariffs, and delays in passing a new farm bill. Canada also saw a decline in farm equipment sales, with tractor sales down 3.1%, combine sales dropping 83%.
Deere & Company reporting fiscal 2025 first quarter net income of $869 million. That's down from $1.75 billion in 2024. Sales falling 30% to $8.5 billion. Deere says it expects 2025 sales at its production and precision agriculture division to fall 15% to 20% in fiscal 2025. Operating profit for the quarter was down 68% to $338 million.
Ethanol exports from the United States reached new heights last year, setting volume and value records. Growth Energy's Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, Chris Bliley, said it was great news for producers.
Over 1.9 billion gallons exported, 36% increase, and over $4.3 billion in value. This surpasses what was a record year, I believe it was 2017 or 2018, reaching almost that 2 billion gallon mark. So really, really important, and an important component of our overall ethanol production. You know, this is beyond 10% of what we're producing today is being exported around the world.
Almost a third of U.S. exports are going to Canada. Despite all the talk about tariffs, Bliley said he is encouraged by the new administration's America First trade policy.
And one of the things that we saw in the president's executive order on America First trade policy is that they intend to address trade imbalance and trade fairness issues. And so there are places like Brazil where they have an 18% tariff on our ethanol that goes to Brazil. Yeah, we have policies that have actually incentivized Brazilian ethanol here to the U.S. So I think that's something that's going to resonate with the new administration. And certainly, you know, ethanol is a key part of, you know, the president's agenda on American energy dominance.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending February 6th shows combined old and new crop corn sales at 1.99 million metric tons. That's 31% more than the previous week, 42% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop soybean sales of 210,000 metric tons are 46% less than the previous week, 71% below the four-week average. And net wheat sales of 606,000 tons, 25% more than the previous week, 42% more than the four-week average. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. As farmers prepare for the upcoming growing season, university researchers are also preparing for their research trials. NDSU Extension plant pathologist Sam Markell will concentrate on three major areas.
We're going to drill into some of the sunflower rust stuff quite a bit more, and I think that's going to be really important. I mean, we did a bunch of survey work in the last 2 years, and it is all over in the previous two falls, and that will overwinter. So it's going to be important to keep an eye on that one. We're going to look at quite a few root rots in the field, and we're going to look at some of the dry beans and how they respond to SCN with some of the seed treatments. So these aren't necessarily labeled on dry beans yet, but there's a lot of seed treatments for SCN on soybeans, and so we need to take a little bit closer look at that. And so there's a few other odds and ends, but those are three things that I think about that quite a lot that we're going to look at.
Soybean cyst nematode has become an ever-increasing problem.
It's just like this slow-moving hurricane that just keeps moving through. And, you know, most growers probably don't have it in the state. In the Southeast Valley, yeah, I don't know. The majority might have it now. I mean, there's been a lot of movement. But, you know, we keep doing survey work, and we keep looking. The growers submit samples. And it's one of those things where once you got it, you got to manage it. You don't really have a choice. You know, it's crop rotation. It's genetic resistance. Maybe the seed treatments have a home in some areas. You really got to stay on it.
Checking quotes, March wheat Minneapolis up 2 cents, 6.16 and 3/4. July Minneapolis up 4 1/4, 6.43 and 3/4. March wheat Chicago up 4.5 cents, 5.78 and 3/4. KC wheat is up 8 cents, 5.99 1/2. March corn up 3.5 to 4.93 and 3/4. May corn up 1 3/4, 5.05 and 3/4. December corn down 1 1/4. March soybeans up 2 cents, 10.29 3/4. May soybeans up 1 1/4, 10.47 even. November soybeans up 0.75 cents, 10.44 3/4. In Winnipeg, March canola is down 90 cents per metric ton at 6.59.90 Canadian. February live cattle up 37 cents, 1.99.52. April live up 80 cents, 1.96.52. June live cattle up 1.05, 1.92.42. March feeders up 280, 267.77. April feeders up 242. February lean hogs down a nickel. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.